Hello and welcome back to the Lutheran Witness Podcast. I'm your host, Roy Askins. Here on the Lutheran Witness Podcast, we have a variety of things we do for you. Today, we are reading an article from an online blog post. Before we go there, however, quick shout out to KFUO, Christ for You, anytime, anywhere, KFUO.org. They are our podcast partners. Huge thank you to them for all the work they do to ensure that we can continue to do this. So KFUO.org, check them out. The article for today builds on our theme for the month of January. The January issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about the Divine Service, a user's guide. It was originally written as something for new visitors who haven't been to a Lutheran Divine Service before. It's a great tool for introducing people to service, teaching them about it. Of course, we want you to sit with them during the service, help them walk through it, but then on their way out, hand them a copy of the January issue. The online articles for this month are three of them are written by Cantor Phil Magnus, and he continues to riff on this theme of worship. The theme for this year for the Lutheran Witness is going to revolve all around, all the topics going to revolve around community in some way. And so this article begins with community in worship. So this is Community in Worship, Part 1 by Cantor Phil Magnus. Worship reveals a community created by the Holy Spirit. The word community calls up a variety of meanings and associations. Communities are formed in various ways as people come together to do different things. The most obvious type of community is the geographically based one, in which people live near one another for their shared benefit in a city, town, or neighborhood. In more recent times, the term has been used to refer to cross sections of people who may reside over a broader area, but who share common interests or activities such as a sport, an artistic endeavor, or an academic interest. Such communities are even sometimes centered on shared illnesses, pathologies, or identities. With the advent of the internet, these kinds of communities have gained a global reach, though one can fairly wonder about the quality of such online connections. References to online communities are common today. These types of communities have one thing in common. They are rooted in human activity. They aren't just groupings of bodies. They are bodies engaged in a common purpose. Each of us belongs to multiple communities as we live, work, and pursue our interests in the world. Sometimes our various communities intersect, or as some might say, collide, and sometimes they don't. We may share a physical community with our neighbors, and so work together with them on cleaning up the local playground or addressing a common nuisance. Yet we may not be in community with them when it comes to our professional vocations or recreational activities. As we depart our neighborhood, we head to different jobs, different friends, different extended families, and likely different churches, if our neighbor goes to church at all. And this, church-going, is where our Lutheran understanding leads to a radically different kind of community from all the others. This is because the Christian congregation is not formed out of our will, but out of the will of God. As we learn in Luther's Small Catechism, it is the Holy Spirit who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. The community that comes together in the divine service is gathered by God. Yes, we are the ones who sing, pray, hear, and receive and worship, and so we are active participants in worship. But the chief actor is God Himself, who both gathers His church in and cares for us as He forgives our sins, enlightens us with His word, and nourishes our faith in His Holy Supper. This may seem like a basic teaching for any Trinitarian church. After all, it is fundamental to the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And yet many today, including some Lutherans, think that it is up to us to use worship to create community, rather than see worship as a manifestation of the community that has already been created for us in Christ Jesus. Missing this fundamental difference leads to two errors, however well-intentioned. On the one hand, many liberal denominations have opened communion, teaching that communion is a means to create community. This understanding is sung in many modern hymns that are not in our Lutheran service book, but, for example, form the bulk of communion hymns in Evangelical Lutheran Worship, the official hymnal of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. On the other hand, this misunderstanding also shapes many activities of conservative evangelical churches in that they pursue what liturgical scholars call an attractional model that designs worship on the basis of what seekers and visitors may desire. Thus, whatever works is accepted as long as numbers come in. Sadly, this means the purposes of worship outlined in scriptures, the reading of scripture, the praying for all in authority, the singing of psalms, hymns, and canticles, the preaching of the gospel and the Lord's Supper, are often compromised. Yet Scripture is clear that worship is for the believers. One cannot find any prescription or description of the means of grace being adapted for the pagans or unbelievers. It is the saints who should not give up meeting together, Hebrews 10. The believers who should address one another in Scripture and song, Ephesians 5, Colossians 3. And those who faithfully confess Christ who are to be admitted to the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11. Indeed, for centuries, even the catechumens, those being instructed in the faith to prepare for baptism, had to leave the service before Holy Communion, as only the confirmed were allowed to view the liturgy of the Lord's Supper. But what, you may ask, about my unbelieving neighbors? Does this mean they shouldn't come to the divine service? These are fair and important questions. The short answer is, it certainly does not mean that. We are called to love our neighbor, and bringing them to the divine service is perhaps the most loving thing we can do for them. The same word that enlivens and sanctifies you in worship is proclaimed for all to hear. Because you have heard, tasted, and seen the goodness of the Lord, you share our Lord's desire for all to be saved. Your invitation to them to come to the church is the Spirit active in you, using your lips to call and to gather your neighbor that he might become active in them. Future installments in this series will consider how worship nurtures a community that is alien to this world, and how worship is incomplete without you. Thank you for taking a little bit of time to learn what it means to be a Lutheran in worship and community, what community looks like in worship, by Cantor Phil Magnus. There are two more parts of this series, so stay tuned for more. In the meantime, check out the rest of our content over on the Witness website. That's witness.lcms.org, where we, as always, help you learn how to interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.